Welcome to the HJ Talks About Abuse podcast. In this podcast, we talk about sexual abuse cases in the hope it will assist listeners in openly discussing topics which have been ignored for too long. This podcast is brought to you by the abuse team at Hugh James. We are lawyers, so we do tend to speak about the legal aspects of abuse cases, but we aren't too shy to speak up about the broader issues faced by survivors too.
Hello, podcast listeners. I'm Alan Collins, and I'm joined today by my colleague Sam Barker.
Hello.
And we are going to be talking about the APPG, the Adult Survivors of Child Sexual Abuse, and the recent hearing into child sexual abuse in FAPE settings. So the APPG is the All-Party Parliamentary Group at Westminster, and we have had involvement with the APPG in their various investigations. We've recently done a podcast looking at the issue of access to justice for survivors. And what we're going to be talking about today is the investigation into sexual abuse, child sexual abuse, into FAPE settings. So perhaps, Sam, you can provide us some context and tell us perhaps a little about the recent hearing and how that came about.
No problem at all, Alan. Thanks for that introduction. So I think it was the 22nd of October, we attended Parliament for a hearing into this matter, which was about the definition of positions of trust in the Sexual Offences Act and whether that should be amended to include FAPE settings.
So what's positions of trust? And I think that is a interesting question that I'm asking, if I may say so, because that was a question that seemed to exercise a lot of the attendees and the parliamentarians at the hearing.
Yeah, it caused a bit of confusion, and I think that's primarily because how the section is actually written. But essentially it covers care, educational, medical and youth justice settings. So if you have an adult, let's take the example of a teacher who's over the age of 18, they're in a position of trust in relation to a student, and if they engage in a sexual relationship with that student who is 16 or 17 years old, so still considered a child but above the age of consent, as it were, that is an offence.
So a good example is, for those who follow the soap Emmerdale, there is that storyline, isn't there, of the female teacher having a sexual relationship with a student.
Yep.
He was over 16,
yep.
But the law says even though he is over 16, 16 being the age of consent, teachers are not meant to be having relationships, in quotes,
yep,
with their students.
So the nature of the relationship and the position of trust affects that the ostensible consent of that child in that circumstance, so they can be prosecuted.
So that's why Parliament said in 2003 it was a criminal offence for people in positions of trust, like teachers, not to have relationships, in quotes, with their students.
That's exactly right. And there's the question is whether that definition needs to be expanded, like it has been expanded in other common law jurisdictions like Australia, to include FAPE settings. Elders in congregations, priests in church, all of those kind of things in religious settings.
And I think there was some interesting questions about how that would work in practice. So, for example, there was this question, wasn't there? Supposing you had two young people in a youth club.
Yeah.
One's 17, they form a relationship with...
Their mum becomes older, yeah.
...with another youth club member who maybe is a few months older. He turns 18 and has some kind of leadership role at the youth club. Would that person then get caught if the law was changed so that positions of trust included, for example, youth club workers, workers?
Yeah, I think that was raised last night. That's a bit of a red herring because that's actually already covered by the wording of the Act. And where a relationship in that kind of setting pre-exists, the relationship of trust, then there isn't a, or the position of trust, there isn't a criminal offence. So if you take the example of, you know, a pre-existing relationship between a teacher who's 20 at a school in Kent with a student in a school in Cambridgeshire who's 17, and then that teacher gets a job at that school and moves over to that, to the school where the girl is, that wouldn't be a criminal offence because the relationship predates the position of trust between them.
I get it. So why is it thought that faith settings is an issue, and why are faith settings not already covered by this legislation?
Well, as I understand it, when this legislation was originally put forward back in 2003, there was an impetus to change and make this kind of relationship unlawful, but there wasn't any kind of desire to make there a general offence. So they took a number of categories where they thought that there was a higher degree of vulnerability. Now, at that stage, and as we know about understanding of religion and understanding about contexts in which sex offenders manipulate and deceive it to serve their own ends, our understanding of that has grown over the years, and we've seen it happen time and time again in religious settings. And also, because of the understanding and of religious settings, we know that there are so many situations that arise where there is a high level of trust communicated within a church or a congregation in that faith leader, particularly so where there are messages from the faith that that person is essentially God's conduit on earth. That's said in a lot of different religions.
So you're saying that the law needs to change in order to cover?
To cover that kind of setting, exactly. So it's really difficult in taking inward-facing religions like Jehovah's Witnesses and religions like that, where it is communicated time and time again within the religion that these people, these men are appointed by God. There's just really high level of trust.
But if the law is changed, are these people in positions of trust going to take any notice?
Well, that's what we came to last night discussing, and I think it's a really important point, and that is that we would need other laws to complement this kind of change in the law, and that dovetails really well into mandatory reporting. Because in this country, we don't have mandatory reporting, and therefore, if we introduce this position of trust offence, and indeed a situation transpired where it occurred, in a lot of religions, that wouldn't be reported to the police because there's no requirement to report it to the police, which causes a problem.
So if there's this change in the law so that faith settings are covered by positions of trust legislation, so that, let us take as an example, an elder abuses a child in that religious faith setting and it becomes known, then those with responsibilities would have to report, you think? Do you think that they would accept that even though they sort of face inwards, they would nevertheless
make the report.
They would make the report.
If it was law, if it wasn't legislated, if it wasn't mandatory, then almost certainly no. They wouldn't make an independent report.
So what you're getting at, I think, is that you need the mandatory reporting in order to shift attitudes.
Absolutely. So I think just generally speaking, any changes in the law, we need to take a holistic view of it all and how it's going to be carried out in society, how it's going to affect the current practices, procedures, how people view these kind of things. And if we just pass one law in isolation, it might not necessarily make a huge change. It needs to be a number of different laws that, you know, require these kind of offences to be taken to the attention of the police so they can actually prosecute them.
So it's a bit like the macaroni cheese and the cold meatballs that we were served last night as supper after we left Parliament, so which we sent back because the meatballs were
terrible,
they were frozen. So for it to work, you've got to have
it all
properly
working together.
Cooked. Yeah, you've got to have the properly cooked meatballs with the properly cooked macaroni cheese and the right pieces of cutlery, so to speak, to eat it with. So it's got to work together. Otherwise, otherwise, it simply doesn't work. You can't have the one without the other, and you've got to have the tools in place in order to consume your macaroni cheese with the properly cooked meatballs.
I love the metaphor, and yes, it's exactly right. There's so many things that play into that, and you know, really inherent in these positions of trust offences and cases we see quite often is that these people who are in these relationships they wouldn't think that anything is wrong because often they've been deceived. It's a grooming thing as well.
So we have to hope that once the politicians at Westminster have digested their diet of Brexit, they will move on to look at implementing the changes that quite clearly were being advocated last night at the APPG.
I think so. And I would just comment really briefly on the fact that there was a lot of really helpful contributions last night from other organisations, but the NSPCC actually has documented cases, and I think it was something, and I would have to be corrected on this, I don't know if this is the exact figure, but there was about 647 reported cases of this occurring, which isn't criminalised in this context yet, over the past 4 years. So it shows that it is a problem, and about a majority of those was in sports settings, but there were also a lot in faith settings too. So it shows that this does in fact occur, and it's something that needs to be corrected.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, listeners. And we will be back soon with another podcast when we will look at some further work of the APPG, because the latest report covers lots of interesting areas of law that concern survivors of childhood sexual abuse. So thank you, listeners, and we will be with you again very soon.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you for listening to this episode of HJ Talks About Abuse. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. If you would like to speak to Alan or I about something you have heard this week, or even if you would like to suggest a topic for a future episode, please do get in touch at aboutabuse@hjtalks.co.uk.